This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and we got an all-star show this morning. All-star show. One of our top ones I think we'll have, if you ask me.
Thank you, Brady.
Yeah, thanks.
Not to put any crazy pressure on you, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. I put that pressure on all my guests every show, and at the end of the hour, we end up having the best show we've ever had. So I have faith. I have faith. We got USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and School Board President Daryl Eady in the studio with us right now. A little bit later in this program, we'll have folks from Manhattan Area Technical College, and we'll end with Manhattan folks from Manhattan Kiwanis Club talking about the Bluemont Hill Overlook Project. But right now, I don't have the music queued up.
Oh boy.
We're
going to have to really go hard to make it the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
I'm not giving us a good start here.
We got good topics. We got good material.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I think we might be good. Here we go. There we go.
There you go. Okay.
Well, that was going to be really awkward and uncomfortable there for a second. Crisis averted. Again, here with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and School Board President Daryl Eady. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brady.
Well, how are things going? How's USD 383?
Man, they're busy. They're busy. It's spring, so activities, it's finishing out the year, it's planning for a new year, trying to embrace for summer, trying to figure out what the legislature is going to do, and all the fun stuff that comes with that. So it's never a dull moment.
Well, I saw the tweets from Greg this morning from the high school principal, and you know they have a skills thing, they have a soccer meet, they have I believe it was a tennis, track. You know, there's all sorts of things going on today or this week, and so it's just really busy time of the year. Besides, it's getting ready to wind down for the school year, so there's
believe
a lot
it or
of tests
not.
And things going on. Oh yeah,
and you know, speaking of Principal Hoyt's Twitter, that's a good handle to follow. He always has an inspirational thing. Usually he starts out with every morning, but you mentioned some excitement, a little bit of excitement a couple of days ago with the school bus, avoiding that semi truck and those sort of things. That was a 383 bus, wasn't it?
It was scary. I mean, it's just absolutely scary on our end and our family's ends and our students' ends. And thankfully, the driver did some action and avoided our bus. So we're grateful.
Is there a kind of a review process on when things like that happen as far as what the bus driver did or didn't do, those sort of things?
Always have those reviews. And one of the good things we have is we have cameras on all of our buses and even the buses behind them too. So we usually work in conjunction with RCPD and sharing our video to find out what happened and find out exactly what happened. And we get a pretty good view of that. And like I said, we work in cooperation for them, and we take care of the problems we need to take care of to make sure our kids are as safe as possible.
You know, for me, it was just another example why we need that elementary out there to get our buses off 24 as much as possible. Because it'd be much nicer for the kids to stay within the neighborhood school than to have to get on a bus and come into town and everything else. We have 480 kids, I believe, that are bused from out there. That's a lot.
And again, just thankful that it didn't end up being a situation that could have. Really good job by all parties involved in avoiding that. And again, just a good thing that didn't end up a much worse situation.
Well, and I really appreciate the semi-driver and his awareness of what's going on, because I'm sure he's been out there before and seen all the traffic. And so, you know, if you're out on 24 much, you're aware of a lot of things that can happen out there.
Right, especially when you're crossing 24, it gets a little nuts.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah, it is.
It truly is.
Well, moving on to some other topics, got the school board meeting tonight, and I guess just looking at some of the big things there, we had a lot of updates in our morning newscast, kind of previewing the meeting a little bit. Just some thoughts on the meeting tonight.
Well, it's kind of a general meeting. We have a lot of information that's coming out. You know, we have the library media annual report. We're talking again about, you know, the six different schools that have our libraries open during the summer. A little extra cost to the schools, but it's really beneficial to the students and it helps them keep them on track and ready for the fall. So that is really great. Also, there's a lot of talks about a lot of our IT support through our library systems and stuff. There's a lot of great information there about that. And then, of course, there's a lot of information on our early childhood program reports, parents to teacher and the infant toddler. They talk about a lot of the things that are required by the state, and the finances that come and the different finances, different directions there. I think there's like 110 IEP students in the pre-K program this year. It's down about 10 students. But, you know, we deal with a lot of students and a lot of special needs in our district, and just talks about how great they do with those kids.
Also kind of looking at some things as the usual, a lot of infrastructure type of things and repairs looks like will be discussed tonight.
Yep, tis the season to prepare for the summer. While students and teachers are out of the buildings, there are times we try to make big repairs. So we've always got bids coming forward, trying to organize those, so when everybody takes off at the end of May, we can get some work done.
Right. We have the Eugene Field retaining wall has to be replaced, you know, every so once in a while. It's a big project, but, you know, it has to be done. That'll be done this summer. Had some bids go out on that. And, of course, we're always working on Bishop Stadium. It seems like we got some more improvements there. Parking issues, I believe, this time.
Handicap accessible parking at Bishop has been lacking, especially over on the east side where we're looking at putting that in. So we're grateful for that project.
And is that part of an overall plan with the parking lot? Because you always hear about, and I know that's maybe more on the county side of things as far as the parking lot's concerned, as far as there's always, you hear talks about it, paving the parking lot and, you know, having some lines drawn and those sort of things make parking easier. Is that still kind of more on the county's end to take care of?
Well, I would say overall, to answer your question, it's not part of a big overall plan. It's just to serve the people that need access to Bishop Stadium to make it easier for them and to comply. So we want to be in compliance with what we can on our facility. So we take care of what we can.
Well, as far as I know, the county's always working on Seco Park in that area. Yeah. So, you know, who knows what's really going to happen there. With everything, but you know, we all take care of our little bits and pieces over there because we're all involved in that particular park. So
I get a visit with them from time to time, and I always encourage them, and they're always encouraging me to move in certain directions. And I think we've got good communication going back and forth. So
definitely a lot of gears and levers when it comes to Seco Park. Right?
There are a lot of it's a complicated thing. And when I got to Manhattan, I thought, man, this is really cool, but it's complicated at the same time. When you don't control your space or you depend on someone else as a really close neighbor that's also a public entity, it's just complicated, but it's been good. I mean, it allows us some opportunities to do that, to cooperate when a lot of places don't even have that opportunity.
And again, just as a more you know moment, I guess you can say, when it comes to Seco Park, Seco's City County Park, with the school district.
Right
in the middle of it with Bishop Stadium. So, like that. I think the county fairgrounds area, that a lot of that's under the county's jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And when you have the baseball fields and softball fields and that end of it, that's on the city. And then, of course, again, you got the USD 383 there, right in the middle.
And you got tennis courts up on district property. Right. Our property lines go there. But we really try to make it a public use for everybody. And that's what I appreciate about that area.
Well, I think another part, it does just show how well that the city, county, and the school district do work together. Because we do a lot of communications, we do a lot of meetings together, and you know, there's just a lot of things that happen that you don't see in a lot of cities like that. And here we do a lot of cooperative work together.
A lot of juggling, but it didn't stop working out.
Got a lot of work to do. I think we'll always be having those conversations.
Oh yes.
Let's go ahead and take our first break of the hour. We'll come back and talk more USD 383 here on InFocus on News Radio KMAN.